nighttime local talk show, Kroc Talk with Chris Kroc on News Talk 750 WSB.
Good Thursday Eve to you. Mark Arum in for Chris Kroc. Fraternity leave continues till 2S day. Best of Kroc at midnight and best of Kroc tomorrow because I'm going out tomorrow night, dagnabbit. 404-872-0750, outside of Atlanta, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Talking about the terrorism alert, the raised elevation of the code orange, red, and magenta on this side. What do they call it in England? Critical. Critical terror alert. They've got words. We got colors. What does that say for our level of intelligence? They actually use verbiage in England. Here it's, you know, Crayola, a box of Crayola to determine our level of terrorism threat. Anyway, not to make light of the situation, good job by the folks in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, Abbey Row. What do they call the police there?
The Bobbies.
The Bobbies. But what is it? They
Scotland Yard.
Scotland Yard.
They're the bomb.
They are the bomb. So our hats off to them. In case you're just joining us, we have a flight tomorrow to the United Kingdom. Just wear your tidy whities and flip-flops. That's about all you're allowed. And your passport. Domestically, no big change. Just no liquids. No beverages. No perfumes. No gels. No hair gel. No anything.
No lubes, as you pointed out.
No lubricants. Anything remotely liquidy is not allowed. Everything else is cool. Cell phones, laptops, iPods, et cetera, et cetera. 404-872-0750, the number outside of Atlanta, 1-800-WSB. Talk to the phones we go. Line 5. Welcome to the show. You're on News Talk 750 WSB. Oh, this is our guest. I'm sorry. We have this new computer system. Rick,
you called me.
That's right. I apologize. We've got our guest on right now, Casey Poulin.
Issues with the phone lines.
Casey Poulin, a terrorism expert from Critical Intervention Service. Before we get to you, Casey, I just want to show Ricky what I'm looking at on my screen here on the caller, on the call screen. I got nothing. So I didn't know. I apologize, Casey. Thank you for accepting our call.
Not a problem.
Welcome to the show. Thank you. If you don't mind, just give our listeners a little bit of background on yourself.
I've been basically working counterterrorism, anti-terrorism for 20 plus years. So we've been involved with everything from providing anti-terrorism protection to critical facilities like power plants, chemical facilities, all the way including teaching anti-terrorism operations to federal agencies like Capitol Police and in D.C. and Federal Bureau of Prisons and things like
gotcha.
That.
Gotcha. So you know what's going on.
We got a clue.
All right, so you wake up this morning, turn on the radio, turn on the TV, and bam, what's your first reaction to all this?
Actually, I don't think I ever made it to a television set today. My morning started off with interviews with some of your sister stations and things like that.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, and, once we get all of our intel briefs through emails and things like that, so... The plot was a large plot. There's no question about it. It took a lot of coordination, a lot of logistics, a lot of financial support, and a lot of people to support a cell or an operative cell that's as large as 21 people or more. So there's no question that this was an Al-Qaeda style planning, Al-Qaeda style operation, if you will, and it follows the same trend that we've been seeing over the past year, which is more and more of the Al-Qaeda styled attacks that are happening, and I'll point to the UK subway attacks or the Spain attacks they had there, the Canadian cells we just broke up in Canada, the ones we had in Miami recently. Those are all domestic, homegrown, if you will, terrorist cells that are part of Al-Qaeda or identify with the Al-Qaeda mindset and ideology.
Seeing
a lot of that now.
Is it just ease, that it's easier for a homegrown cell to get things done?
Well, it is because they know the terrain. They have support networks already in place. And ultimately, it's harder to detect a homegrown cell than it is an international cell that's operating in what we call cross-border operations. Very, very difficult to infiltrate a domestic cell. We do, we are successful, obviously. You saw that in Canada and in Miami. But it is difficult. Now, if this attack would have been able, if they would have carried out this attack, I have no doubt that it would have been much larger than 9/11.
Wow. Talking to Casey Poulin, a terrorism expert. Casey, there's speculation that British authorities knew about this plot for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they not make arrests as soon as they find out? What's the benefit of waiting for this to get some legs under it?
Yeah, it's multifaceted. One, obviously, you want to get enough documentation and evidence on them to have a good, solid case. So that's from a prosecutor's mindset, if you will. But more importantly, from an intelligence mindset, you want to be able to identify as many people as possible and see and try to link people together in places and try to define, if you will, who and what is the makeup of this group, and then try to expand from there and move forward and try to see how many levels can you dig in and get more information as to all the way up to the leader if you can. So the more time you take to gather intelligence, and I can assure you there was hundreds and hundreds of man hours spent on surveillance, physical surveillance, technical surveillance across the board on these folks, up to the point where they believed that they had the capabilities and the means to carry out the operation. At that point, you have to arrest the group and put a stop to the operation. But until then, you try to let that go and get as much information as you can.
Casey, what's the attractiveness for terror groups, terror cells, Al-Qaeda, whomever, with airlines? I mean, it seems to me that if you have liquid explosives, it's pretty simple to get them into a business, into a building, a federal building. Why is there just this attraction, infatuation with airline terror?
Al-Qaeda likes to, you got to be careful with that, because Al-Qaeda, there's two characteristics you got to pay attention with Al-Qaeda. They like to hit targets that we think are safe, that we've done everything we can. The towers is a good example of that. When they hit us in 93, we spent close to $1 billion in upgrading all of the security and everything else. And then in 2001, they were able to hit us in a different way. Instead of a vehicle bomb, they hit us with airliners. That tells us two things. One, they like to hit us where we have hardened the target, and you've seen this in other countries as well with Al-Qaeda. They'll actually attack a hardened facility where there's armed security and all sorts of countermeasures to prove that they can, that they have the ability to do it. The other thing that they do is they get us in a mindset of expecting that attack. At this point, we're kind of like, oh, my God, they're going to hit our airlines again. They're going to hit our airlines. And then they will switch techniques on us. They will switch target selection and hit us where we didn't expect it. They're very, very good at changing their target selection when it fits their needs.
September 12, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Were we not aware of the possibility of liquid explosives? Why has it taken this long for us to institute this kind of a policy?
Liquid explosives is not new. Look, we had two North Korean agents in the 80s that took down KL Flight 858 with PLX liquid explosives. They had it in a whiskey bottle, of all things. We've arrested Palestinian terrorists in Germany at the airport there with liquid explosives that hadn't been fabricated or manufactured since World War I. They'd obviously found a way to make it. Within the same year or so, the French arrested a group of terrorists with the same type of compound that the Palestinian terrorists had in Frankfurt. So we know that. I mean, this is not new. The liquid explosive has always been a problem or a concern, and for the most part, we do have explosive detectors, vapor detectors, it's very, very hard to hide liquid explosives. The vapor detectors pick that up very quickly, unless you've absolutely sealed the container and decontaminated thoroughly the outside of it.
I guess my real question, Casey, would be this, then. I'm assuming, and maybe it's a false sense of security, that I've got enough confidence in our intelligence community that September 12, 2001, till now, they have mapped out every possible way that terrorists might want to take down an airline. Like, we are working on this constantly, right? We're always trying to stay one step ahead of them creativity, their creativity.
The answer is yes and no. We have a tendency in the United States sometimes to we're not the Israelis. When they say they have security, they have security. A lot of times our security here is built around perception so that people feel safe so that they fly without the hassle of having all these countermeasures that they got to, you know, these processes that they have to go through. So, yes, we do have a lot of good countermeasures, but we also have a lot of what appears to be countermeasures that aren't really countermeasures. So we are very vulnerable. I'll give you an example is obviously the terrorist groups, and this I think shows it, that you know, hijacking an airline like they did on 9/11 is not feasible for them. The passengers will fight them, and they know this. So what do they try to do? They try to, you know, they follow the plot of trying, let's try to bomb these planes and explode them in midair. Well, regular explosives is too hard to get on. Let's move to liquid explosives. So they're always changing their approach to this. But ultimately what they're doing is they're setting up, they're trying to find our vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come back to the car, to the planes, hijacking the planes, what would make sense is not hijacking a passenger plane, it's hijacking a cargo plane. They can still achieve the same goals as what they did in 9/11. I can assure you the security around our cargo planes is very weak.
A little less than a passenger plane, yeah.
That's right, a lot less, because there's no passengers involved. But that doesn't mean that the weapon is not as lethal as the passenger planes.
Casey, I got to take a quick break. Can I keep you on for one more segment? I want to get some...
Sure, absolutely.
All right, hang on one second. We got Casey Poulin on, terrorism expert from Critical Intervention Services, going to answer your calls after the break. 404-872-0750, outside of Atlanta, 1-800-WSB-TALK. If there's anything about this situation that you're confused about, you have questions about, now's the time to ask.
He's living up to the promise that he would dig into the big local stories with energy and passion night after night. This is Atlanta's only local nighttime talk show with Chris Kroc on News Talk 750 WSB.
Jump aboard with your questions now. 404-872-0750, outside Atlanta, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Mark Arum in for Chris Kroc on News Talk 750 WSB.
Turn to News Talk 750 WSB for breaking news, weather, and traffic. Atlanta's Morning News with Scott Slade. Now, it's live local talk for Atlanta. Kroc Talk with Chris Kroc on News Talk 750 WSB.
11:22 the time. Mark Arum here. You there. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Discussing today's events. The terror alert raised here and in Great Britain, and flights canceled, and no more liquids on flights, and a whole bunch of stuff. A lot of breaking news today. Joining us, a terrorism expert, Casey Poulin, of the Critical Intervention Service. So Casey, we've got a brand new phone system in here. All right, so if I hang up on you, it's totally accidental. It's not on purpose.
Gave me the number. I can call you back.
We're going to try to attempt to take phone calls with you on the air.
Okay, not a problem.
This is like Columbus stuff, 1492. We're venturing into uncharted waters. All right, 404-872-0750. We'll start with Mort in his car. Mort, you're on News Talk 750 WSB.
Yeah, I was in the airport today. I'm driving home for 10 hours, and my flight was finally canceled because of weather.
Wow.
But you asked a question that hasn't been answered by your terrorism expert. Why are we so reactive? Why aren't we proactive? Why do we have to wait until some terrorist is going to threaten a direction with liquids? This is something we should have realized from the beginning if it really was a threat. And in a period of hours, throughout the country, throughout the world, all of a sudden we say liquids can't be used. This doesn't inspire me with confidence. I will tell you, I went through checkpoint. I had liquid in my pocket. I had eye drops in my pocket, and I went right through. And as one of your previous callers said, who was also in the airport, we weren't patted down.
What about that, Casey? Are we going to see? I appreciate the call, Mort, and I appreciate your enthusiasm. Are we going to? Why haven't passengers been patted down with this increased level?
Let me tell you first that I'm not involved with generating policy for the airline security strategy that we use. But you know, it's a lot easier. I mean, you got to ask yourself, why are we banning nail clippers and cigar cutters? instead of worrying about the real threats, of, mm-hmm. you know, like liquid explosives.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's how, you know, this is how they think. I mean, when we replace, look, well, the reality of it is when we replace the private security that was doing the screening at the airports with federal employees that are much harder to fire now for not doing their job, if they're not doing their job, which they are supposed to be patting down as a policy, by the way, mm-hmm. For passengers. But, you know, when it comes down to that, is that they're not any more effective. Every test that's been conducted, they have the same rate as the private security of compromises within the security strategy, which means weapons are getting through contraband is getting through and things like that. So we're not, the people are not making us more secure than what we had prior to 9/11. Yes, there's more policies, there's more countermeasures in place, but the error rate is the same.
Gotcha.
I don't know why. It's mind-boggling to a lot of practitioners out there in the field that are involved in this day-to-day. I think maybe it's because the public may not tolerate too many intrusions on their security.
All at once.
That's the only thing I can tell you. I don't know.
All right, back to the phones. Nathalie on Highway 85. Nathalie, you're on News Talk 750 WSB.
Hey, I have a question for your expert. I have a flight scheduled for the end of this month from Atlanta to Canada. And my question is, as a passenger on a plane, do I have a right to view the passenger list on the flight to see if I see any names that, you know, happen to be Middle Eastern, that sort of thing? And would that be overly paranoid to not want to be on a flight with people with those types of names?
Casey?
Not be racist, but...
Well, look, I think the issue of profiling, and look, we profile serial killers, so there shouldn't be no reason why we can't profile terrorists.
Good point.
But the point is to be clear that Muslim extremists, jihadists, are not necessarily just Muslims. As far as the Middle Eastern, you know, stereotypical Muslim, there's a lot of Chinese Muslims and Black Muslims and white Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So, just profiling off of race, we create a real serious problem for us. I'll give you an example of that. Until a couple of years ago, we had never experienced a female suicide bomber. So the profiling has always been males between this age and that age. Now we've had a series of female bombers as young as in the teens. So that's an example of how they changed they readapted their methodology, their attack methodology, to hit us where we're weak.
And plus, if you just profile on race, I mean, there are a million Lebanese Christians out there.
That's right. So you can't do that. You have to profile off of, yes, race is one issue, the religion is one issue, but they're more minor than the behavior that you're profiling. You want to profile their activity pattern. You want to look at where they come from, who they are. Are they traveling alone? Is it on a one-way ticket? What kind of baggage are they carrying? And all these things. So there's more to profiling, real profiling with substance, than just racial profiling.
All right.
Racial profiling will set you up for failure every time.
Absolutely. All right, quickly, Angie in Walton County. Angie, you're on News Talk 750 WSB.
Yes, all for profiling need to do it. My question or my concern is I've got a teenager that is, we're booking travel now for his senior trip overseas. I've got to look 9 months in the future and, you know, is this worse? Is this better? You can't take enough precautions.
What do you think, Casey? What's your prediction?
Well, I mean, you can travel overseas or almost anywhere within the exception of maybe a dozen or so countries. But you have to be smart about it. You have to plan out where you're going to be going. You have to know the environment. I would definitely suggest that to the State Department's website and look at the travel advisories, depending on what country that they're going to be traveling to, so that they know not only what the terrorism situation is, but what is the crime situation. The State Department has travel advisories on every single country in the world, and they're updated regularly. So you need to know what neighborhoods to stay out of. You need to know what kind of threats you're dealing with so you protect yourself. And also, you need to check in with the consulate when you get in or our embassy so that they know you're in country and they know where to find you if something comes up, and they know that if you come up missing, that you're missing.
KC Poole, terrorism expert, thanks so much for your time, brother.
It's a pleasure, man.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. We interrupted him on his vacation, by the way. What a nice guy. All right. We're going to take a break. News, weather, and traffic. Your call's next. 404-872-0750. Outside Atlanta, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Mark Arum and for Chris Kroc on News Talk 750 WSB.